Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth, then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that the passing there had worn them really about the same, and both that morning equally lay, in leaves no step had trodden black. Published in 1915, The Road Less Traveled by Robert Frost talks about having to make a decision when coming to a fork in the road. It discusses all the emotions that come with needing to make a decision and how these choices can often lead us to having regrets or wondering what could have been done differently. God's chosen people faced the path-choosing choice without the poetry. David had unified the people, and in bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, puts David, it's King God, at the center of the kingdom. God makes covenant with David, promising continued rule of his lineage as long as his successors remained faithful. When David dies, his son Solomon assumes the throne. In many ways, Solomon is remembered as a great king of Israel. Yet he is also remembered as the king who wasted his God-given potential by failing to keep his priorities straight. He becomes exactly what Samuel warned a king would be like. Solomon levied taxes and forced all the tribes into labor except Judah. Solomon became like Pharaoh, using his people, especially the non-Judites, to support his huge household and to establish cities and forts and to trade with other peoples. Judah was favored and Israel was afflicted. Taxation and forced labor to support massive building programs like the temple and his palaces. He started the nation on a downhill slide from where it would never really fully recover. The most critical crack in the seemingly united kingdom under Solomon was created by Solomon's adultery and his apostasy. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. They were from many different places and worshipped other gods. And so he turned away from his early humble dependence on Yahweh to worship other gods. Yahweh had warned Solomon that most of the kingdom would be torn from his son and given to Jeroboam. And when Solomon dies, his son Rehoboam went to Shechem to be made king. Now, our first warning that things are not as united as they may appear. Why would he go somewhere other than Jerusalem to assume the throne? David had made Jerusalem his capital and returned the Ark of the Covenant there. It was the center, and God was present in the temple. This confirmation outside of Jerusalem was necessary, given the strength of the northern tribes and their history separate from Judah. Was the United Kingdom really united, or was it the kingdom divided? There was resistance to Solomon's taxation and oppression even while he was alive. Jeroboam, once one of Solomon's staff, led a rebellion and was forced to flee to Egypt. And when Jeroboam heard that Solomon had died and Rehoboam had called all of Israel to Shechem, he returned from Egypt. At Shechem, all Israel was assembled. There, Jeroboam presented Rehoboam with the petitions of the Israelites for relief from the heavy burden of taxation, and forced labor. As the condition for their continued support of the Davidic dynasty, the Israelites asked Rehoboam to lighten their hard load, the heavy yoke his father had laid upon them. Rehoboam shrewdly asked for time to consider their demand, but he did not turn to Yahweh or the prophets. Rehoboam first consulted the elders who had stood before his father as advisors. They attempted to teach him that diplomacy was wisely in order here, and that Israel would be his servant forever if he would be their servant today. They advised him to give them good words. The elders' answer indicates that they may have opposed Solomon's policy of consistently exacting a heavy toll from his subjects, and they knew this answer would please Israel and retain kingdom unity. The elders saw the discontent of Israel and knew that Rehoboam must ease their burdens in order to retain them as subjects. It was clear the writer approved of this consultation. Rehoboam, however, rejected this advice. He turned to the boys, those who had grown up with him. The narrator shows his contempt for the king's young friends by repeating the phrase, "the children had grown up with him." These inexperienced youth prepared for Rehoboam a harsh answer to Israel's request that their yoke of service be lightened. "My littleness, or my little thing, is thicker than my father's loins." The obvious meaning is, my father's yoke was heavy, but I will add to it. His whips were brutal, mine will be worse. Their contempt for their elders and their northern kin is clear, and their answer spurned the elders, who urged Rehoboam to become a servant to the people of Israel as a welcome and necessary respite from his father's policy, which amounted to near slavery. Solomon had effectively brought his people back to the house of bondage, from which Yahweh had delivered them with mighty signs and wonders. Rehoboam had the opportunity to become a servant king, but chose to require even harsher service than Solomon had established. Following Rehoboam's actions, Jeroboam succeeds in splintering the kingdom and becomes the king of the northern kingdom. And then he fears that the people will return to the house of David if they keep on worshiping in Jerusalem. So he builds not one, but two golden calves. These are what the people are to worship. These are what brought them out of Egypt. These are their gods. Instead of being united, we find the kingdom divided. I leave you with some questions and some thoughts. First of all, where do you get your counsel? Is it from reliable people? Do you get all points of view? It seems to me that leaders and those giving counsel need to listen more than they speak. Decisions made in community will be better than decisions made individually. And who are you listening to? How might you listen to God? God speaks to us through wise people that we trust, through inner urgings of the Spirit, and through prayer. We have examples of leadership in our scriptures today. First, we have Rehoboam and Jeroboam. They both suffered from pride and power. The people thought of the Messiah as David's son, a mighty warrior in his time, and so they appeared to fit the bill. But in Mark, we see Jesus as a servant leader who cared more about and for his people. He cared to the point of dying for them. and for us. Today, there seems to be a toxic masculinity in churches, in political parties, and in society at large. Have we forgotten the message of Jesus? For us, how are we worshiping false images of the true God in our lives? I point to example about fights about music in churches and liturgy and worshiping an old pastor who's no longer there or the pastor who is there. Conflicts over building and property, especially in our Methodist church. There's something haunting about how relevant these words are for our country today. Abraham Lincoln was president of the United States through its most trying test of unity, the Civil War. Much like the division of Israel, the war set opposing views of community against each other. The divisions ran deep, and many wondered whether the nation could ever again be united with common goals and a common purpose. Shortly after the South had surrendered, a crowd of some 3,000 people, led by a brass band, gathered before the White House. They called for a speech from Lincoln, expecting him to proclaim a great celebration at the victory of the North. Instead, Lincoln asked the band to play Dixie, the unofficial anthem of the Southern Confederacy. Lincoln could not prevent the division of the Civil War, but he could respond to those who had been his enemies, those who he now had to govern, with compassion and understanding, with malice toward none, with charity for all, as he spoke in his second inaugural address. He understood, as Jesus did, that a people divided against itself cannot stand. No community can, not even a church. Would you pray with me? Mighty God, your servant Rehoboam divided your kingdom with his tyranny, yet you remained faithful to both kingdoms, even in the midst of conflict. Lord, show us your presence in conflict and help us to resolve our differences, uniting this world in your name. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.